Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Father God, we do thank you and we praise you for this day. We do thank you for waking us up. We thank you for getting us here. We thank you for protection on the roads, Lord God. We pray for those that are still traveling, Lord God, that you would protect them. We pray for those that cannot be here today, whether it's due to illness or whether it's due to other travel or whatever the situation is, Lord God, we pray that you would be with them. Lord Jesus, we think of the other churches that are around this county and around this nation, around this world, that are worshiping you today, Sunday morning, Sunday morning, worshiping you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. My privilege to have my mother, Joy Weaver, up here today. For those of you who don't know her, so she and my dad are visiting. They're down for a couple of weeks, and my brother as well. But they should be here later on. But anyway, Mom, all right, take it away.
Well, anyway. Hi, everybody. We are not on vacation. When you come to Florida after a hurricane, you are not on vacation. Oh, my goodness. How many had some leaves to rake up, huh? Some trees to cut down, some roofs to fix. Oh, man. How many got to know your neighbors a little bit better this week? Yeah. Well, you know what? This is not on the program, so, and you know I'm a lady, I'm a female. I mean, I'm a female, so I can change my mind, right? All the husbands said, "Amen." That told me. Well, I thought of this song was really driving up here because I thought it would be a very appropriate song for you folks and all of us. But and we're going to do some motions, and then we'll get back to do the list. But you know this song; you don't need any words to it. It goes, "Lean on me when you're not strong. Thank you. I'll help you carry on for."
Somebody to lead. Come on. Just call on me, brother, when you need a friend.
Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We're in your presence.
We are in your presence. Fill us with your power.
Yes.
Live inside of me.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
has a story. And we just thank you for many dangerous toils and snares we have already come. But it's your grace that brought us safe thus far. And it's your grace that's going to lead us on.
God.
What a joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, joy.
For this, would you put that AC down to 72?
Yeah,
72. Oh, no!
Turn it down to 68.
Oh, Lord!
Thank you so much.
Oh, man.
Love it.
Love it.
It's really great. Now I'm going to be singing that for a while. And sing
muscle.
I can't sing very well. All right. Well, we've got a few things to go over today in the Word of God. NFL is the sound of our start. So we are absolutely right on time to start. Why don't we start off in prayer, and then we will go on from there, and we will go through announcements. And then we'll get right into the Word, which I'm nervous about, but also excited about. And I will tell you why in just a moment, if I can figure out how to get this thing to go up a little bit. There we go. Thank you. Super duper. All right, let's pray. Father, we do just want to give you thanks and praise, Lord, because we're here for you, Lord Jesus. We want to know you more. We want to love you more. We want to learn how to please you more. We want to have your heart, Lord. We want to have your word living inside of us, Lord. Coming out of us, Lord. That we would become just living water to other folks as you're working in and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we ask for your people, for all of us here, to be receptive to whatever you want to speak to us through your powerful word, Lord. Lord, and I pray if there's anyone in here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, Lord God, that today would be the day of salvation for them, Lord God, that they would come to see you in a clearer, bigger way as who you really are, Lord God, and who you should be and where you should be positioned in our life, Lord God. So we love you, and we ask your blessing over this service. We ask your blessing over our minds, that you would give us understanding, our hearts, that we would receive what you have to say to us, Lord. Nobody wants to hear from me. We all want to hear from you, Lord, by your word, and that you would hide that word down deep in our hearts, Lord, so that we wouldn't sin against you, Lord. And we pray your blessing over these beautiful people that are here, Lord, some going through very difficult times, Lord. We ask that you would minister your comfort and your truth to them, and show them how big of a God you are today. We love you and bless you and thank you in the mighty, awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm very glad you're here. So let's go through some of the announcements very quickly, and then we'll get into the Word, which, of course, I love to do. Okay, so here we go. So first, you guys might notice, if you're new here, we don't take up tithes and offerings. We have a little bird box in the back. If you would like to give, just put that little, your tithes and offerings back in the bird box. We won't be pastoring a plate or cajoling you for money. God provides everything. If you're interested in starting, the Lord's told me to skip that for today. And that. So a couple of free events that are coming up if you're interested at the USF Sundome, October 3rd. Dr. David Jeremiah, wonderful man of God, loves the Lord. And he'll be coming there Tuesday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. free. Tickets are available at the Joy FM if you're interested. Also at the Bradenton Convention Center on October 4th, Matthew West is coming to Palmetto. And if you're interested in that, tickets are about $25. Also at thejoyfm.com. And then Chris Tomlin, the Good Good Father Tour with Matt Mayer, is coming November 4th, also at the USF Sundome at 7 p.m. Tickets are a little pricey for that, but you can also get them at thejoyfm.com. Okay, so you guys know, skip that for this week. Okay, we're just skipping through these to get to the Word. You guys know we have audios online, that kind of stuff. We have prayer Sunday mornings here at about 9 or 9.30. We'd love to have you join us. We have a men's Monday night Bible study
that we've started up, and you can see Gary for details on that Bible study to get more information. But we have that here Monday nights. I'd love to have you come as well as our Tuesday night Bible study. On Wednesday, we have the youth group, the Transformers. Now, I didn't see, is Josh here somewhere? Josh,
not yet.
Josh and Amanda Panda, not here yet. Okay, somebody write that down. Okay, so Josh and Amanda Panda and all the youth, and you know, we just want to say thank you. We know that you helped clean up Connie and Sue Burgers. They worked so hard. There's literally 8 feet of branches for about 20 or 30 feet down the road. They were cutting down trees and hauling, well, not the youth weren't cutting down trees, but you get the idea. But they were hauling tons of tree branches. This week, we are going to be at Laura's. Laura, could you just raise your hand? Hi, that's Laura. And Jim, who usually sits here, so Lord, please heal him up in Jesus' name. We're going to ask if any of the adults want to come. They have a large property and a lot of wood. We get so much done, but if anybody has chainsaws, sorry, I happened to look at you right at that point. If anybody has chainsaws, any adults who would like to come and join us, we'll send it out on the text, but we're going to be doing that around 6 or 6:30, probably around 6, we get a little bit more daylight on Wednesday, and we're going to work in their yard. It's right around here at the church, and we're just doing that all in Jesus' name, okay? So we're going to be doing that, and if you would like to be part of that, any adults who can work, see me or Josh and Amanda Panda for more information, but we wanted to invite you out for that. That's going to be this week. And then after that, they're going to do a 4-week study on suicide in the youth. And so I want to mention that as well. Thursday night, we'll be having our barbecue and Bible study, and Uncle Tom will be leading that this week. Also, we're having a family game night, and that is this Saturday. Is that correct? Where's Wendy Jo? This Saturday, 4 p.m. here at the church. Is there anything you want to say?
Bring more games and a snack to share.
Okay. That's amazing how your mic just went through the mic there. Okay, what now?
Yeah. So we'll start at 4, bring more games or cards or whatever. And we just kind of hang out until whatever everybody wants to kind of
Great. And any age, you could have like older people and younger people.
Yes, and we have quite a few who's come to the other games. So
fantastic.
Anyhow,
nice summer.
And again, like I said, bring a snack.
Bring a snack.
Yep.
Okay.
And the teens can eat quite a bit.
I was going to say, if the teens go again, bring extra snacks if you will. Okay, so that's Saturday. Again, continue to pray for these newly baptized folks in our body, because I know in Jesus' name that the enemy's out to trip them up. And so I just pray for Leslie in Jesus' name. And for Sof, Lord, for Isabel, Lord, for Brandon, Lord, for Ezekiel, Truth, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would grow them and strengthen them, root them down deep in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. In your precious name, amen. Also, please pray for our wonderful Christian school, Shepherd's Heart Christian School here. If you need help, please see us. Food, meals, fresh water, cut tree limbs, that type of stuff. We'll help you as best we can. We're not obviously I was going to say we're not a rich church, but is that true?
No.
You're right. We may not be rich monetarily, but we are rich in the Lord, aren't we? Wow, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So, but anyway, if you need help or even a place to stay or shower, contact us, and we've got folks willing to put you up and take care of you. So there you go. Okay, so now let's get into the Word of God. We go verse by verse through the Word so that everybody understands what it means in context. So if you would open your Bibles to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. That would be super duper. Now, I told you, as you're turning there, I didn't know what to name this. I still don't. Either it's Colossians still standing, because in this time that we're living in, it's like the world and the enemy and the devil is just creeping into the church all over the place, and the enemy's trying to rip you away from the Lord, from obeying him, and we need to be rooted down deep into his word and down deep into the Lord Jesus Christ and his heart and his spirit to stand. Or this one, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And you know, there was an old thing that we used to go around, and I don't know if you remember this, in the 70s and 80s, and say, Jesus is the answer, you know? And it was like, to what? It's like, yes. It's to everything. You know, of course, people were made, so Jesus is the answer to, you know, science? Yes. Jesus is the answer to? Yes. Jesus is the answer. In him, it's everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And we're going to get into that a little bit today. All right. So as I'm turning there, that's going down, that's weird. If we could hit the lights, if somebody wouldn't mind reading, I'm not going to recap the last couple of weeks we've been going through. I think we're up to verse 14, so I think we're going to be starting verse 15. But would somebody mind reading, the good reader, the first bunch of verses? Would you just raise your hand from verse like 1 to, I don't know, maybe verse 14? Debbie Jo? Nice Tennessee accent. So.
Georgia.
Whatever. The supremacy of Christ. Wait, we're going to give you a mic. Oh, yeah.
The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God.
Actually, I'm going to start you with verse 1 and go through verse 14 first.
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace be with you from God our Father. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about it in the Word, the truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Good. Now, do you just read? Now, you can start us off. Well, last week we were talking about abiding in Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. We were talking about being in him, in Christ. We're talking about growing by the Word of God. And now we are here at verse 15. Now, this is an important, but also about persevering. We're at an important part of the Scriptures. Of course, they're all important. But we're going to be talking about the supremacy of Christ. Now, Lord, give me the right words here. Now, hopefully you'll hear the heart through my jumble of words. I'm getting a little nervous. No, that's the wrong words. I'm getting scared at what I'm seeing in the body of Christ as a whole. If I can just be blunt, honest with you. We, because we are part of the body of Christ, are so blown around by any wind of doctrine that comes by the church, or any YouTube video that comes online, or any the cults, or any of the even dumbing down who Jesus is. And I don't know if that's even the right word, but I feel like that's what we're doing. We're dumbing down who Jesus is. Now, and part of it, I understand why. You know, there's this kind of this thing where you know, Jesus is my homeboy, Jesus is my bestie, you know, and in one sense, I get that. Let me tell you, Jesus is my best friend. Now, on earth, my wife is my best friend, but in all honesty, Jesus is my best friend. I love him. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, okay? I can cast all my burdens on him because I know he cares for me. He loves me. He's given himself for me. But yet, there's another sense in which folks are saying things like, well, Jesus is my friend, so I can do whatever I want. Do you know what I mean? Like, and he just has to put up with me, you know? And that is not what the Lord says at all. You know, even in the scripture that they bring up all the time, John 15:15, it says, I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Well, see, Jesus is my friend. He's my homeboy. He's my this and that. Yeah, I can do what I want. No. Now, verse 14, the preceding verse, John 15:14, Jesus said, hey, he starts off by saying, hey, you're my friends if you do what I command. Now, let me see if I can put this in perspective, okay? Anthony and Natalie aren't here, so I use them. Ha! They're on the VLT Sunday town for the weekend. Okay, so they're gone, and so I would consider them, Anthony and Natalie, my friends, okay? Love them, we share things, you know, care about them. Sometimes we'll go out to dinner, some things like that. And so, great. You know, we joke around. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. You know how friends do that, right? Okay, so there you go. Now, let's just say I went to Anthony and Natalie, and I said, now, I'm not only their friends, I'm also their pastor, so there's some authority there. Now, let's just say I went up to Anthony and Natalie, and I said, hey, just want you guys to know, you're my friends if you do what I command. How well do you think that would be received? Like a paddle to the butt, right? I mean, that's not... Okay. However, because I don't have that kind of authority in their life, however, Jesus does have that authority in our lives. There's a verse coming to mind. It's not going to be on the screen. Revelation chapter 22, approximately 13, 14, and 15. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, and I am coming soon. He says, blessed are they that wash their robes in the water, and I will give them the tree of life. And then he goes on to say, but those who don't obey me, and he goes on to say a bunch of different things, you know, sexually, those who live sexually immoral lives, or those who practice magic, or those who goes on to different things, they're going to be outside the gates. There's a heaven and a hell. And so who Jesus is paramount. He is our friend, but he is also the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can't forget that in that friendship and in that love. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, he who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice and doesn't obey them, he's like a guy that builds his house on sand. And if you've ever been to the beach in here in Sarasota, Bradenton, you can build a beautiful sandcastle, right? My kids love to do that. And then what always happens, the longer we stay at the beach, you know how the tides come in? Then they're all like in a panic, because the water's coming in, and everything they built is being washed away, and they're digging moats, you know, they're trying to stop the water, you know, and the castle so it can be saved, and eventually it just gets washed away. Jesus said that you're foolish if you don't obey and put them into practice. But he said, you're going to be blessed if you build that house. I think it's Matthew 7. If you build that house on the rock of Jesus Christ, firmly on my word, and you put those words into practice, boy, you're going to be like on solid foundation. The winds are going to come, the waves are going to come in, and that house is going to stand, and nothing will be able to move it. So I want us here to understand that Jesus is our friend, and he loves us, and nothing will take us away from that. But I want us to also understand the magnitude of who he is. And I don't want that to diminish. And I think in the scripture that we're going to go over today is going to talk about that. Now, somebody tell me what this is.
Level.
Was it?
Level.
Level. Okay. What does a level do? Somebody tell me. Keeps it straight. Okay, what?
Tells you what's balanced and what's not balanced.
Okay, tells you what's balanced, what's not balanced. Good. I'm waiting for you. What's a level do? Yeah, I'm looking right at you.
Contractor.
Either of you. What does it do? What is
it? Start you off on the right foundation.
Okay. All those things are true. Anything else that a level does?
Guides you.
Right? In your building, right?
Make sure it's parallel.
Okay, good. Make sure it's parallel, right?
Some of them have a measuring tape on top.
Yes, some of them have a measuring tape on top. That's true.
Guides you,
absolutely, in your building. Right. Now, here's somebody gave you this level. It's a really great level.
No, it's not.
Well, there's a construction guy talking. Let me rephrase that. This is a great level to use for my illustration. And here's the reason why. It looks like a nice level, right? And a lot of people have these pictures of who Jesus is, but it's imbalanced. It's not level. It's off. And this level is actually bought at a dollar store. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing about this level is...
Not level.
It's not level. I'm not kidding you. We have a level here. My friend brought this, and I thought, man, this is a great illustration. Because if you put this level, it's like this. So anything that I build with this level, any foundation I build, it's going to be off everything. So the measure with which we use the foundation, the balance, must be right. Otherwise, everything is off. Now, this might look like, okay, maybe not to you, Chris, but to me, I thought, oh, this is great. What a neat little yellow. I won't lose it. Right. It's got the measuring lines on top, just like you like it. Right? Fantastic. This is just what I need for my ignorant construction needs, okay?
Until you leave it in the back of your truck in the window.
Yes.
Yes.
So once you realize that this level isn't level at all, and everything you build off it is going to be wrong. It's the same way if you build your life off of anything else but a proper understanding of who Jesus is, off of his precious word. If that's not right in your life, and you don't know who he is, or you don't know his word properly, everything you build is going to be skewed. Now, it might not even be a lot at first. Honestly, this thing's not that much off. I mean, it's just like, instead of like flat, it's more like this. It's not that big of a deal.
Oh, yes, it is.
What, it is?
Yeah.
Why?
In 100 feet, it would be 8 feet.
What now?
In 100 feet, you could be 8 feet off.
Yes. So in the beginning, it's not that big of a deal. In fact, you could hardly notice the difference. What does it mean, a little Bible verse out of context here, or whatever, a little, you know, Jesus, you know, he's good, you know, he's a good teacher. No, but as you go along in your life, as you're building your life, your foundation, it's going to be way off. How important it is to know who Jesus is and to know what his word says, so that foundation is strong and solid in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this might look like a great level, but again, it's not. But I know a great level. Now, some people will bring out things that look a lot like this, or they'll rip a scripture here or there. We want you to know what all of the Word of God says, so that you'll know. And the more you get into, you're going to be able to see more and more. That's not right. That's off. The longer you walk with the Lord, the longer you hide his Word in his heart, the more you see what Jesus is and who he is from his precious Word. And you get the truth. true picture of who he is. Does that make sense? Yes. With that, we start. Well, I guess we've already started, but you know what I'm saying. Verse 15. Who has the mic? Would you read just verse 15 for us, if you would be so kind?
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
Okay. Now, just to make sure, who's the he we're talking about here? It's clear, right? Okay. We don't need to get into that. But that's right. He is Jesus. Even anybody who reads it for themselves realizes this. Some of you guys have the title here, the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ, whatever it might say. Some have nothing, but he is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. What does that mean, the invisible God? What? Wait, what?
It's a spirit, so that therefore I don't have a clear image as to whether it has edges or...
Okay. Okay, good. What she's saying, for those of you who didn't hear, thank you, you did such a good job. Invisible God means that, you know, he's a spirit. So, you know, we can't really see him.
But we know he's there.
But we know he's there, right. So, is that true? I would say absolutely. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, so, he's spirit, right? No one has seen God at any time, but Christ manifested is the image of God. Okay, so here we go. So, he is the image of the invisible God. So, God is spirit, so he is the image of the invisible God. Now, that word in Greek is icon. And it's where we get our word today that we use, okay, for icon, all right? And it has two meanings to it, and I'll get to it in just a second, all right? Now, I'm a computer guy. That's what I used to do before I went into full-time ministry. I had a computer company, a technology company. So this is a window screen. Some of you guys may know it, may not. Okay, everybody know what these are called? Icons, right. Right? So this is Microsoft Word, this is Excel, this is Publisher. These are called icons. It's a picture of what it is. That's where we get the word, right? So if I wanted to use my Microsoft Word program, I would just go, I'd see the W there, and I'd go, click, click, and I would click on the icon, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Icon means, one of the two meanings, one is a picture. So when it says that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, what it's saying is that he is a picture of the invisible God, okay? So, for example, if you came over to our house and you look through our photo albums, you see all, you know, the early, you know, the baby butts from when they were very little to now, you see them growing up, you'd get a nice, or you'd follow us around a while, and you'd get a pretty good picture of our family, right? Okay? That's what it means. It's a picture. And it's same with a cell phone. Listen, this, again, icon, this is my, well, this is not my phone, but this is from a Samsung Galaxy, okay? If I want the camera, I click on the little picture, the icon of the camera, right? And then I have a camera, okay? Same thing with if I want contacts or I want to make a phone call, I click on the icon, all right? So it's a picture. So Jesus is a picture of the invisible God to us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. He's an icon. Okay, so it carries with it the meaning of a picture, an image. John 14:7 says something neat. And there was a time when Thomas was talking to Jesus, and he's like, you know, you remember doubting Thomas. I like his questions, but he's like us. He had lots of questions, or like me, and he goes around, he's saying, Jesus, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to have to die, I'm going to have to come back, and he's like, Jesus, we don't know what you're doing. And he's like, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And then Jesus says, oh, okay, Thomas, you don't understand. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he says to Thomas, if you know me, you would know the Father also. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. He is the reflection, the picture, the image. And if I were Jesus, I probably would be a little bit more, I don't know, sarcastic probably, but I'm sure Jesus would. I would have been like this. Okay, if you know me, you would know the Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Huh? Right? But the disciples are kind of a little, I was going to say that dense, but so can we be, right? Let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'm a knucklehead apart from the Lord. Okay, so we can be a little dense. So then there's another guy that comes, one of the other disciples, Philip. He says, okay, Lord, after this, I would think, from now on, you have seen him, right? You do know him, huh? The Father, you see him? Picture? Yeah, I got it. But then Philip goes, you know, Lord, just show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Now, if I was Jesus, and again, I'm not, I would have done the old proverbial running of the eyes, you know, the face palm.
Yep,
I just told you. You see, that was the second goal. But Jesus is so patient, you know. He says something really cool in the next verses, in John 14, verse 8 and 9. He said, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. That'll be enough. Jesus said, Philip, don't you even know who I am, even after all this time? He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And now, of course, that's me. He's not doing that. Jesus.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. They still didn't quite get it. But that's what it means. Picture, image, okay? Now, for those of you, okay, again, I'm a computer geek.
Question?
Or used to be, but, yes.
Josh.
Yes.
The fact that God wasn't, or Jesus was like the invisible God or something like that, I think he said that so they wouldn't know that wasn't any idols or anything like that, because that was very, you know, popular at the time with all the other, you know, countries
okay.
and stuff like that.
Okay. Yes, when it says that Jesus is the image, okay, so it does mean picture, but it has another meaning to it. Okay? So that word icon means picture, but it also means representation or manifestation. So when it says he, Jesus, is the icon, the picture, the image, the manifestation of the invisible God. Okay, so in other words, he's the picture for us, but he's also so much deeper. Like in other words, okay, so these are Word, Excel, Publisher, Office. Okay, this is what's called Microsoft Office, for those of you guys who don't know, if you're Mac users or something, maybe you use it too. Anyway, okay, so you guys may know this, or George might, but do you know how many lines of code? These are just little programs. This does Word, this, you know, does your spreadsheets. Do you know how many... not characters of code, lines of complex code, just to run this one Microsoft Office program on
thousands.
Millions.
Thousands?
Millions.
Millions? Okay. This was back, again, this is like 2006. For Microsoft Office, there was at least 30 million lines of complex code just... yes, people type that in, just to run those programs. So there's a depth of it that's beyond the picture that we see, right? And it's the same thing with Jesus. There's a depth of who he is that goes beyond just, you know, what we might see. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's true, but there's so much more to who he is. He is not only the picture, the icon, but he is the representation of God to us. He is the manifestation of God to us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, we can look at Jesus. We can see him and say, oh, I see kind of what he looks like. But more than that, you know, we see who God is. We see his heart. We see his nature. We see his being in Jesus Christ. It's not like God was one way only in the Old Testament, and then somebody completely different. Hey, I'm Jesus. I'm really nice now. You know, God came down to us, like Matthew 1:21-23 says. Matthew says, and she shall bring forth a son, Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and he shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, or which means God with us. Okay? So Jesus is not just a created being, a guy, you know, special powers, a good teacher. He is God with us. You guys might remember, and this is going to be important. You guys remember in Exodus when Moses was going to lead the people out of captivity? Remember they were slaves by the Egyptians? Remember that? And they were trying to free the people, Moses was, and eventually, you know, they put the blood of the lamb on the door, lentils and door outlining a cross on their homes, and the angel of death passed by those who had the blood of the lamb on the door, and then they were set free. You remember that story? Well, before Moses went, he was talking to God in that burning bush. You know, he said, how are they going to know that you're sending me, God? What do I tell them? And he said something in Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel when you speak to them. He said, I am sent you. Okay, so that is the name that God is telling them who he is. I am. Now, Jesus, okay, used that same phrase when he was talking with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he said to them, Jesus answered, when they were arguing with him, he said, I tell you the truth. You're like, who are you? You can't be the Messiah. You're making yourself equal with God. And so we're going to try to kill you. And he's like, listen, we're Abraham's children. And he's like, you guys don't get it. He's like, and he said this, he said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was ever born, I am. What do you think he's saying there?
I am God.
Before Abraham ever was, I am. And in the next verses, it says, at this, they knew what he was saying. They actually picked up stones to try to kill him, to stone him to death. Okay? This is important. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. One in nature, one in essence, one in being. Okay? If you want to know what Jesus looks like, if you want to know what God looks like, go through the gospel. Start in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Start reading. A chapter a day keeps the enemy away, and two or more kicks him out of the door. And you will start seeing a picture of what God looks like. Because you'll be able to see what Jesus is. You'll get a picture of who he is, but you will also see the manifestation of him, the representation of him, his heart. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Fantastic! Okay, so he is the image, the icon, the picture, the manifestation of the invisible God. Okay, and he is the firstborn over all creation. Okay, now, a lot of people struggle with this, and the cults will use this verse right here, and some of your translations might say the firstborn, first one created, or something like that. What is, you know, some of your translations might say something else. And so the cults will say, see, he's not God. He's not Emmanuel. He's not the I Am. He's just a created being. He's the firstborn of all creation. So he was born. Okay? So, like, for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses will use this as a proof text to say that Jesus is just another created being. He's like a cow or a human or an angel. Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe that he's just a created being. He's an angel. The Mormons believe that, I won't even tell you what, but the Mormons believe that, God has lots of spirit children, and amongst them are Jesus, Satan is his brother, they're just, you know, just, instead of who Jesus is, there's a dumbing down, there's a ripping apart of who Jesus is. And so when I read this, okay, I have to say, okay, what does firstborn mean? Well, in Scripture, firstborn means two things, okay? Two main things, anyway. One is time. Like, for example, Elijah, where are you? Are you here? Are you with the children? Are you here? All right, way in the back. Thank you so much for having your mom raise your hand for you. Okay, Elijah, raise your hand nice and high for a second. For those of you who don't know, that is my son Elijah in the back. Okay, Elijah, if we're talking about time, I would say he's my firstborn son. In other words, he was the firstborn out of the chute. Okay, firstborn child. Thank you. I don't know. I'm trying to think of it. He's the firstborn. Okay, I have Hezekiah is next. We've got Nehemiah next. We have Ezekiel truth after that. Okay, it's time. So it can mean that. Like in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. Speaking of Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him. That was her firstborn. She was a virgin before that. So that's what it can mean, time. Or it can mean this, and you're going to see that clearly. This is what it means in Scripture as we continue on. It can mean time, or it can mean firstborn in position, in priority, in preeminence. And that's what it's speaking of here. When it says he is the firstborn over all creation, it doesn't mean that he was born like a regular person or a created being. It means first in position, priority, and preeminence. Like in Psalm 89, speaking of David, it says, and I will make him the what?
Firstborn.
Firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Was David the firstborn son, for those of you who are Bible scholars? Was he?
No.
He was what? He was 8, or 7, or he was the youngest child, right? He wasn't the firstborn, he was the last, in fact. Was he the biggest of the kings of the earth? Just the opposite. But what the Lord is saying here, I'm going to make you first in position, in priority, and preeminence. Does that make sense? Okay, and there's a reason why I say that, because it's important. That's what they're saying about Jesus here, that he is the firstborn over all creation. He has preeminence. He has priority. He has position over all creation. That's what they're trying. Not that he was the first one that was born. Does that make sense, guys? It's important that you know that, because so many cults have been led away by the cults. Goes on to say, okay, so that was verse 1.
No, he didn't finish the first.
What? He is the firstborn of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
There,
I did.
There. I'm sorry.
Now the next verse, verse 16. Okay? It says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So if we continue reading, just to see, okay, so for by him, who's the him?
Jesus.
By Jesus, how many things were created?
All.
Now, if he was a created thing, they couldn't say that. If he was just another human or an angel, by him, all things. And when you go back in Greek and you look at the all means?
Everything.
All. It's not brain surgery. It just means all. So by him, Jesus, all things were created. All right, I'm losing my place here because I'm getting excited. Okay. Now here's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. For example, it could be more, but this is what they do. Here's the original Greek over here. You can say the word says all things, right? All things were created, all things. Now, in their Bible, okay, this is what it says. Because they believe, again, he's not really who he says he is. They believe he's just a created being, right? That's why they're told. Because, it's one of the reasons, because by means of him, all other things were created. And that goes on to say, all other things have been created through him. All other things, and by means of him, all other things exist. The funny thing is, even in their Bible, it's in brackets. What is that? What do you think that indicates?
Means it was added.
It's not really there. Nope. You go to the original Greek, it doesn't say all other things. There is no other.
Panta.
He is who he says he is. Does that make sense?
Do they have that for the firstborn? I mean, we don't really have a Greek for firstborn, right?
Yes, if you look up firstborn, processing, standby. Firstborn in Greek is prototikos. Yes, and that can mean, again, either time or priority. But even in Jesus' day, it's a good question, Chris, even in Jesus' day or earlier, the rabbis would say things like, and I have it written down, I think I wrote it down in my Bible a while back. Can you hit that light just for 2 seconds? Even the early rabbis would write things like this. They would call Yahweh, and quote, the firstborn of the world. And they would also use it as a messianic title. Okay? And so... my eyes are getting dead. Okay. Let's go back. All right. So... he is, for by him all things were created. All right. Here's what it says in John 1, verses 1 to 3. Now I'm going to tell you what the Jehovah's Witnesses do here. They add a, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, what they do is they put a little article there. Mm-hmm. They put a. So it says, in the beginning, the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Interesting, huh? But anyway, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, all things were made. How many is all? And just in case you didn't get that, through him, all things were made. It goes on to say, without him, nothing was made that has been made. Do you think he's trying to make a point? Okay. All right. Next. Check. Huh, I wonder if that's supposed to go there. Let me think for a second. John 1:10 goes on to say that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, yet the world didn't recognize him. So obviously, he created all things, including the world. Okay?
Hey, go back to the first page. You wrote it on
your face. Bye-bye. Okay, so that means he made everything. That means the heavens, the skies, everything. Psalm 19:1-4 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He made everything, you know. Big Bang or Big God, you know. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. So he made everything. The heavens even declare the glory of God. You can also read about the stars. Psalm 147:4 says that he determines the number of stars. How many stars are there? Does anybody even know?
Trillions.
Yes. It says that he determines... that's right. Who said that? He knows. That's good. He determines the number of stars, and he gives to all of them their names. Or another translation would say, and he knows them each by name. And yet he knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your heart. He knows you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's our God. So he made everything. Listen, he made the stars, the heavens, the earth, all those things. He created it, it says. The Bible is saying that Jesus created all these things in through. Now, this is a DNA strand. Okay, DNA is the blueprint of all life. Okay? It's the densest storage system known in the universe. Okay? Now, DNA information... so from the biggest stars and planets and galaxies and universe, that's him. But also DNA, the tiniest thing, okay, the densest storage system in the universe, okay, the DNA information, the size of a head of a pin, right? Everybody knows what a head of a pin is? A teeny tiny little thing? okay, would fill an entire Webster's dictionary. But an entire Webster's dictionary stacked to the moon. Actually, an entire Webster's dictionary stacked to the moon 500 times. On that, in the pen.
Our computers
take. That is our God. Do you understand the depth of that icon? Okay? He's your friend, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of the universe. And there's a point for all this. He goes on to say that for by him all things were created, things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. That means like heaven, hell, all those things, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. They're talking about angelic ranks in heaven and then the demonic ranks in hell. All those things, all those rankings. Okay, everything. Okay, everything. He's like trying to say, okay. Anything you can think of. You can see it, you can't see it. You know, it's made by him. We're trying to make it as clear as possible. And then he goes on to say, all things were created by him and for him. Now, I really like that. What they're saying, when they say that all things were created by him and for him, he's basically saying that God planned it. Okay? He's the architect of it. Okay? Jesus is saying, I planned it. Okay? I'm the artist. I'm the architect, if you will. I planned it. I produced it. And I purpose it. Okay? All things were created by him and for him. All right? And that's important. I'll tell you why. Let me see if I can go to the next slide. I love what Francis Chan says about this. Because all things were created by him and for him. That means he planned it, he produced it, and he purposed it. Francis Chan said this, and I love it. Since Colossians 1:16 tells us that everything was created for God. But don't we live instead as though God is created for us to do our bidding, to bless us, to take care of our needs, our loved ones? See, that's what people are going to tell you, that God was created for you. You're the center of the universe. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do? How do you want to spend your money? How do you want to spend your time? How do you want to build your relationships? How do you want to build your friendships? How do you want to build these things? But God is not saying, you are the center of the universe. It's not built for you. All things were created by him, for his purposes, right? I know the plans and purposes, says the Lord. My God, my purpose is not to harm you, it's to give you hope and a future. And you're going to find, if you're a Christian, you're going to find the greatest joy that you'll ever have is when you figure out that all things are created by him and for him. And when you do what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in step with His Spirit, He brings such joy to your heart because you know that you're fulfilling the purpose that He has set it out for. If you're not following the Lord, then let me tell you, you're one of the most miserable creatures on earth. I hate when I look at people, they're right, wrong on him. I'm not saying you're the most miserable creature, but I'm just saying, but if you are not, if you don't realize that you're here, if you think you're here for yourself, you are one miserable person. Now, sin might make you happy for a little bit, right? Sin's pleasurable for a season, but in the end, your whole life is pointless. You're going to come to a point in your life where you realize, I have nothing. Like poor Solomon did. He's like, soap bubbles, meaningless, everything's meaningless. If you don't prioritize the Lord and understand you're here by him and for his purposes, you're not going to be seeking him. You're not going to be fulfilled by him because you're not going to be focused on him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You planned this world. You planned your life. You planned it. You produced it. And he purposed it. And I say all that to say, you need to surrender it. See, God doesn't want to be a part of your life. He doesn't even want to be prominent in your life. He wants to be preeminent. And that just means what? First place. And until you allow him to take every area of your life, you're going to be one miserable puppy, and God doesn't want that for you. On top of that, if you choose to make yourself the priority in your life, well, when that life comes to an end, you have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's hell for all eternity. There's no do-overs. You don't come back as a monkey or a pony or a cow or something. You get another shot at it. You work your way up. Appointed a man to die once and then the judgment. So you better make sure, I better make sure, I know who he is and that I serve and I follow the living God. Any area that is not submitted to him, God put it in my heart and my mind that all things are created by you and for you. And then it goes on to say, and in him all things hold together. Which is really what I wanted to get to this whole teaching. But I think I'm going to leave it right here. So we'll come back next week. And we'll find out not only are things made by him, but they're made for him. And then we'll find out that in him, he's holding everything together. Boy, I started. God is so faithful. I even thought, well, I'm just going to say this. It's like, no. No. I think it'd be really cool. I could have some really cool PowerPoint slide and think, oh, that would be weird. So cool. But who's Lord?
Jesus.
So ultimately, does it matter what I want to do here?
Nope.
I might think it's a great idea. I do think it's a great idea. But the Lord is speaking in my heart saying, no. I certainly have to realize that the King of the whole universe knows way more than I do. Isn't that true in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Can you trust him, Diane? Neely, can you trust him? Stanley, all areas of your life. By him, for him. Think about that. Your relationships. Think about that. Your business. Your school. Your home life. By him, for him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you that you are indeed the creator of all things, Lord God. That you are the image, Jesus, of the invisible God, Lord. And that we can know you. We can watch you. We can see you. Father, we can see your heart through your Son, Jesus Christ, as we read your Gospels. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's maybe somebody here who's maybe never even read a Gospel, Matthew or Mark or Luke and John, this week, today even, they would go home and start reading one chapter. One chapter, Mark chapter 1, John chapter 1, then read John chapter 2 tomorrow, whatever. Well, they would start reading to see the real picture of who you are. Not just one snapshot only, but the whole album, so that they can get an accurate picture of who you are, Lord, in this distorted world, so that they can put all their foundations can be level and built right. We can know who you are, Jesus, your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit. Bless your people today, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for coming to be with them again. Your people, Lord God, bless them mightily in ways I don't even know how. And if there's anyone here who has not bent their knee to you and has refused you, Lord, today is the day of salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. And they were just telling you right now, Lord, as much as I know you, Lord God, if you're there, you would show yourself to me, Lord God. You would make yourself real to me, Lord God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who has just refused you, you would change their hearts, Lord. that they would bend their knee and realize that it is only by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Only through Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. And we ask for you.